We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live!
Please remain silent while I am speaking. We have a lot to get through.
Put that cigarette out.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh my God, he's coming at you! He's gonna puke!
He's fat!
You three guys want a war tonight? You got one!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here!
Good evening, everybody. It is Monday, February 10th. We just finished watching Monday Night Raw, which broadcasted from Hollywood, Los Angeles, California. And it is time for all of us to gather here, as we do every Monday night, on Mega Powers Radio for the NPR Raw post show. I'll be your host for this evening, Mike Payton. Joined with me is three awesome wrestling fans. First off, the Bounce House Prince, Mr. Drew White. What's shaking, Drew?
I was shaking my butt. How about you, Mike Payton? How you been doing?
Oh, why'd you have to take it there?
Goodness gracious.
Also with us here, lead host of Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio, as well as Unanimous Decision MMA for you MMA fans, Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking, Steven?
You know wrestling's fake, right?
Yeah, so is football, though.
Oh, okay.
At least that's my opinion after this recent Super Bowl. And we mentioned the Super Bowl. There you go, folks. And lastly, here with us, the leader of the Smark Out Moment Revolution and the Smack Talk podcast, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
We're taking over. Revolution starting, buddy.
Yes, indeed. So let's talk about Raw. I got to say, I'm left feeling pretty blah. I don't know about you cats, but I'm not too excited. I'm not too disappointed. Maybe I'm a little disappointed in the use of Betty White. I was kind of hoping we'd see a little bit more of her, but then again, maybe I was just expecting too much. She is a pretty old lady these days. But we didn't really see anything progress too far. We got a confirmed match with Batista going against Alberto Del Rio. And we had a big, big return tonight, gentlemen. Do you know who I'm talking about, though?
Mark Henry?
No, not Mark Henry. The Eliminator!
Eliminator return
on Raw tonight. Yes, when they had the Did You Know segment talking about how John Cena had granted his 400th wish today. And they had showed a little sneak peek of the Eliminator on there. So the Eliminator's still running strong on WWE TV. Hopefully that segment will live on forever on the WWE Network.
Maybe they're building it up like they do with Undertaker and stuff, where he pops up a little bit before WrestleMania. Right now, they're building up Eliminator. A couple of references here and there. We're going to see it pick up the pace, you know. Elimination Chamber, he's going to take that spot that Christian has. That's the big name.
I feel bad for anyone who's listening who has no idea who we're talking about with the Eliminator. So I think we're just going to move on and start talking about Monday Night Raw tonight. We started off with the Big Show escorting Miss Betty White out. She said hello to the crowd. She was interrupted by the Authority. Oh, Betty White, her big line that she said tonight is that she was going to kick some ass tonight. You know, everyone, of course, was hoping we'd see her at least slap somebody or get into some kind of action, but unfortunately not. She didn't get to say much more at the beginning, though. She was interrupted by the Authority. Triple H goes into the ring, says that, oh, there was a misunderstanding last week. We didn't say that Daniel Bryan would be the face, just that we would reconsider him being the face. Also, in addition to every single other entrant that's going into the Elimination Chamber match, John Cena, Antonio Cesaro, Christian, Sheamus. He's interrupted by Randy Orton, who comes out, who, man, he just started doing the mother of all ass-kissing while he was out there in that ring. He was apologizing to Stephanie. He was saying that he wanted to be the face, not just in the ring, but outside of the ring. He wanted to go what's the show this was? Not Regis and Kathy Lee anymore. I'm so behind.
Michael and Kelly.
Eventually Daniel Bryan comes out to lighten things up. However, before people get a chance to get too excited, Triple H lets him know that Daniel Bryan is going to be having the night off due to his agitated state. Crowd, of course, did not react kindly to that, and that's where we left off with our opening segment. So guys, how were you left after this opening segment? Did you feel this was a great way to get the show started, letting us know that we're not going to get to see Daniel Bryan, the person we're obviously most excited to see wrestle? Instead, of course, we're looking forward to our main event of John Cena versus Randy Orton. Tony?
Blah is exactly the way that you put it. I don't want to say necessarily it's because of the Daniel Bryan thing, but it didn't do anything for me. I mean, whenever they have a special guest celebrity come out and all they do is go, hey, everybody, I'm a celebrity. Let's move on to our next segment. That's kind of pointless to me. And Betty White, if she would have done something, anything, it would have been better than just coming out. And the same thing goes for Big Show, too. Big Show comes out, he's holding the microphone for her, and then he leaves. Whoop-de-do. Like, that's the big selling point for the whole episode. I'm going to watch that, and that's going to make me watch the next 3 hours. No, it isn't.
Drew, how'd you enjoy seeing your grandmother on television?
Actually, it's my fifth cousin twice removed. I think we established this last week or something like that. And I'm still, I honestly don't know what to think because they're in Hollywood and I feel like they could have done better than Betty White. Don't get me wrong. I was glad she made it. I thought it was cool, but I feel like they could have pulled some strings, maybe get someone else out there.
There's no way to speak about your grandmother.
Fifth cousin twice removed. Son of a bitch, you pay attention, Steven?
To Peyton, not you.
Steven, I believe you missed his opening segment, correct?
Yeah, Raw's a lot better when you miss half of it.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our first match that we had of the evening then. It was the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, and Eric Rowan going against the Brotherhood, Cody Rhodes and Goldust, and Rey Mysterio. Cody Rhodes, who I believe is still nursing an injury slightly that he got from that leap off of the steel cage he did last week. So he wasn't in this match too much. Neither was Rey Mysterio, just because his knee is always hurting. Goldust spent majority of the time inside this match getting his ass absolutely kicked. However, the match ended with Mysterio picking up the pace at one point. However, getting caught into this awesome snapping Sister Abigail that Bray Wyatt hit. Very reminiscent of when he caught Daniel Bryan after doing that leap through the ropes to the outside into him and then hitting him into the barricade. Very reminiscent of that. Fantastic ending to the match. Bray Wyatt is really starting to catch on, getting a lot of steam behind the whole Wyatt family deal. That's great as they're going into their match against the Shield. Drew, did you dig this?
I digged it when Goldust was in there. You know, I'm glad that when it looks like now with Bray Wyatt, I like how, like, when they're doing his finisher, just, you know, it's, I like it better when it's fast-paced and not the whole, oh, I'm going to kiss your forehead, draw it out for 15 seconds and then do it. It looks a lot better to me when they do a quick motion of it. Other than that, the match was just okay. The finishing was good, but, you know, I was only really into it when Goldust was in there.
Tony? Tony?
Carrie?
Yeah.
Alrighty, a little bit of a glitch there. I wasn't really into this match at all for the most part. And my favorite part about the whole thing was that finish. Not just because it looked a little bit better when Bray Wyatt hit that, because I agree with what Drew said. It's better when he kind of just pops it out of nowhere, or at least does it very quickly instead of dragging it out. But I just like the idea that Rey Mysterio took the pin, because fuck Rey.
Rey was really able to make himself fly. You know who I think would be able to sell that move really well? Rob Van Dam.
I'd like to see him have to take it and lose a match.
I'm sure you would. After that match, we had a backstage interview with the Shield. But the only reason I even want to mention this is because Renee Young goes to Roman Reigns first, and Roman Reigns is like, baby girl, ain't nothing to worry about.
Oh my god,
it was so smooth. I was like, damn, Renee, when they pan the camera back, Renee Young's dress is like gonna be gone.
He's gonna be like, don't you worry about what you've heard about Big E Langston, I'm gonna give you a spear later on.
Oh goodness. The end of the segment, though, ended up with Dean Ambrose saying he was going to go out to the ring and put an open challenge to anyone to come and try to take a shot at taking that U.S. title from him. And we'll talk about how that ends up a little bit later. First, we had a matchup with Fandango and Santino Marella. And, of course, each of them were escorted by their own woman, Summer Rae and Emma. Emma, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work.
Emma did that really cool dance that's really cool and no one thinks it's stupid.
I don't think she did it this week. Did she do it really?
No, she didn't. I was actually expecting Santino to win just so they could do it because I feel like WWE would be the type like, oh, we're going to put this over like a motherfucker. Dance with us.
But she did do it.
Wait, she did?
Yeah, she did do it for just a little bit when Fandango came out and they were doing that entrance and they were kind of like talking over it a little bit. She was off on the side with Santino, and she was kind of like doing it, like, I don't know if she was necessarily supposed to do it, and she just kind of was doing it, like, nervous twitch of what should I do kind of a thing, but she was kind of, like, low-key doing it. And that was even more awkward.
Trying to be sly about it or something.
She's like, oh, maybe nobody will notice it if I just do it really slightly.
Right.
I need JBL to just come over there and slap her on the wrist every time she starts.
Well, at least I'm happy that Fandango got a chance to be on TV and win. However, someone who was not happy about this was The Miz, who walked down once again during this match as he did last week, grabbed a pair of the commentator's headphones, and complained about how these two jokers have a match on Raw and he doesn't. I don't know where this is going, but you know, I'm intrigued. I like to see what they got planned for The Miz. I always feel The Miz is highly untapped potential of what you could really do with that guy. I think he has a lot of talent as a charismatic character, and he's not as bad in the ring as a lot of people like to say he is. I think he's very capable of having a more than entertaining match. So I'll ask you guys, what'd you think about the match we had with Fandango and Santino and The Miz's involvement coming out and interrupting it? Drew?
I totally missed the Miz interrupting it. I wasn't out of this match. I wasn't really paying attention. I did see the beginning and the end, if that means anything. But, you know, Fandango winning, good for him. But, like you said, I think Miz is very underutilized talent. I really wish they'd do more of him. I've liked him ever since he did won the Money in the Bank back in, like, what, 2010? Man, that was a long time ago. But, yeah, it's just, you know, he is a good talent. I just think that WWE just does a terrible job utilizing him along the lines with Dolph Ziggler. So I'd like to see something out of this, but I'd doubt that anything of major importance will happen.
Tony?
I don't know. I mean, the match itself, kind of pointless. I don't know about a lot of these people. Santino, I still like him, but he's kind of worn out his stay, I think, in a little bit. Fandango, I think, still got a lot to go. I think Summer Rae's great, and Emma, we've already ran her down. Miz, he definitely deserves more. But I have no clue where this is going, and I kind of have the feeling, as pessimistic as it is, that it's not going anywhere.
Steven, you want to chime in on this one?
I didn't say the match, but I can comment on the Miz stuff. I definitely think there's more that you can do with the Miz. I think he's a really good talent. I loved his WWE title run. I was one of the few people on the internet that did.
I do too, man. I'm with you.
And the rumor is they're going to team him with Dolph. They're two guys that are being misused. I'm all for that. Both Cleveland guys, so they can call them the Cleveland Steamers.
Yeah.
And Lord knows we're going to need some tag teams, because just as we thought the tag team division was going to be blossoming once again, it seems like every tag team is breaking up or is teasing being broken up.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I'm all for the Miz and Dolph Ziggler teaming up.
Yeah, man, I think them and, like, the Matadors could be the new blossoming of the tag team division.
Oh, fuck the Matadors.
I guess the Usos could be there, too. They'll be okay.
They're going to take over the Matadors gimmick.
Hey, you know what? I bet people would totally get behind it then. Olay! Okay, anyway. We had another tag team matchup on the show with Sheamus and Christian teaming up against the Real Americans. I don't really have much to say about this match, except that Christian was looking orange as shit. Like, and even his hair was orange. My one friend here made a comment about, Christian is the carrot. Sheamus wins with a bro kick. The only thing I think of other note is that on the way out, Zeb Coulter got to speak about how it's unfortunate that Sheamus and Christian, an Irishman and a Canadian, were able to sneak back after hiding out in their countries, licking their wounds, and come right back into an Elimination Chamber match with a shot against the title. And then, of course, you have it followed up by Antonio Cesaro getting a chance to speak, which the crowd was very pleased by, that Zeb passed the mic to him. Didn't get much to say, but you know what? He said his effective thing, saying that he is going to be a contender in the upcoming Elimination Chamber match. I guess that's really all to say, Tony.
This is another match, though, that followed the same pattern from tonight, where it wasn't necessarily bad, but it wasn't necessarily good either. And I think that the highlight of the whole thing was the start of it, with Christian doing that little bit of a promo, where he really kind of just ran himself down and called himself ugly. It's just like, this is kind of ugly face. My mom likes it. My mom thinks I'm handsome. Like, That was very, very awkward. So I don't know why they necessarily did that, but I thought it was a little weird too that Christian and Sheamus are teaming up against Cesaro and Swagger, because they usually do some kind of a tag team thing with Elimination Chamber people, but a lot of the times it's four of the people in the chamber, and I don't know, that was just a little bit odd to me, because it's like they didn't build up the idea of Sheamus and Christian are tagging together tonight, but they're going to have to face each other, really, and they usually do that, which they might have thrown out maybe a reference here and there, but there was no tease of, like, dissension between the two or, you know, anything like that. So, missed opportunity in my book.
True.
The only thing I really want to mention about this was the promo that Christian cut. And just like you, like you said, he was talking about how ugly he was. And then I started looking at his face. I'm like, oh, God, he looks old and beaten up. His eyes look, oh, God, he's orange. Oh, man. Oh, God.
Ooh. God, orange.
God, Christian's orange.
He is so orange. It was really gross. And especially when you had him standing next to a guy who's a perfect white palette like Sheamus.
Hey, at least it's better than a blue dot, right?
Oh, indeed, indeed. So the next match we had was Alberto Del Rio putting on an exhibition with Dolph Ziggler. And I use exhibition in the loose sense of it. Del Rio gets the win via pin. Dolph Ziggler only got a tiny bit of offense here, so I could definitely see Dolph Ziggler continuing to go into some type of frustrated story after something like this. However, we didn't get to see it tonight because shortly after this match was finished, Batista would make his appearance known, come out and powerbomb Alberto Del Rio through the announcer's table. Kind of cool. We don't really get to see people go through announcer's tables on Raw too much anymore. What's up? Steven?
I guess he didn't have that much of an opinion anymore. Just,
Steven?
Okay, my connection's back. It's cutting out all night, so that's going to happen. I was wondering where the announcer's table was, because I got in late, and they panned to JBL and everyone, and it's like, the fuck's the table gone?
Yeah. You missed it then. You didn't see Alberto Del Rio going through it.
I know. That sounded like a high point.
The high point for you. Yeah.
So, hang on. Let me get this straight. So, Batista, I don't have any issues with you. I'm going to beat you up every week now. Okay, seems legit.
Joseph Stallman saying hashtag denim hero. Yeah, that's definitely Batista. Drew, what'd you think about the matchup with Del Rio and Ziggler and the subsequent Batista attack on Del Rio?
That was short to the point. Ziggler lost. The only good thing I can mention about this is that Del Rio got me some fantasy points. Go Drew Crew. But such as that, you know, Batista bombing Del Rio. I'm not the hater of Del Rio like you guys, but you know, I thought it was cool. Like you said, we don't see many spots where people go through announce tables unless you're CM Punk and Kane nowadays. So I thought that was pretty cool. I did, but I'm not liking this whole Batista just destroying Del Rio thing. That's stupid. Besides that, I thought it was okay.
So we're going to be opening up phone lines in just a minute. I'm just going to get Tony's opinions on this. But if you want to call and get in the queue on the phone lines, the phone number is area code 760-512-7247. Dial in now. Operators are standing by. Tony, what was your opinion on the Del Rio versus Ziggler match and the follow-up beat up by Batista?
Didn't really like it a whole lot, mostly because I can't stand Del Rio. And just pretty much every one of his matches are a bore to me, so that's no surprise. But another thing that I thought was pretty interesting was he got another, he meaning Batista, got another lukewarm response from the crowd. It wasn't as volatile as I would kind of hope with people booing him out of the building or anything like that. But, you know, he comes out to make this kind of a save, and it's just kind of a, that's Batista. Yeah. Not a whole big pop. Not that this is our great guy that we're going to be going into WrestleMania and he's our number one focus and we're all super pumped for that. None of that kind of response. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Not even when you're putting him out there to beat up Del Rio.
Right.
Could there have been anyone that people should have been happier to see him beating up?
Well, he didn't even get a better reaction from saving somebody like Dolph Ziggler, who Ziggler got a pretty decent reaction. So they can't even give him that extra little bump of like, well, at least he's saving the guy that we really like, you know?
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines here now. We're going to first take it to caller from the 817 area code. Oh, wait, there we go. Caller from 817, you're live on the NPR Raw post show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's Brian Brain. How's it going?
Brian the Brain, well, what's shaking, dude? Good to have you on the show tonight, man. What'd you think about Raw tonight?
It was a C+. I mean, no Daniel Bryan in a match, and most of the matches were okay, but, I mean, overall, it was like, I guess WWE just doesn't care that much about the Olympics to fret with worrying about ratings, I guess. I mean,
well, they had Betty White.
So, I mean, yeah, they got Betty White. Ooh, whoop-de-doo. I mean,
here's my opinion about this. And I was talking to the guys about this in our chat later, and I definitely wanted to get it up on here. I think they have all their eyes focused on the 24th show, which is the night after Elimination Chamber, and when they're launching the WWE Network, that tonight and next week's Raws are probably going to be pretty lackluster. And I kind of prepared myself in advance for that.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it was lackluster. It was just an average Raw. And, I mean, the thing is, I didn't turn it. So I didn't watch anything else. Shame on me. I probably should have, but... I mean, come on. I mean, the best thing of the night was Batista bombing ADR into the announce table. That's sad. I mean, I just hate Alberto Del Rio that much that a Batista bomb made me happy. I mean, his boots were more interesting than the rest of Raw. That's just wrong. And then, don't get me wrong, Lita, Hall of Fame, yay, but, you know. I guess I was kind of sad that I was hoping for, yes, and even Cena beating Orton was an okay match, but it wasn't, I don't know. Tonight just wasn't a night for me with Raw, I guess.
Just, it was just a slow night. I mean, we're at a slow path on the way to WrestleMania. The road to WrestleMania really picks up after Elimination Chamber. That's when we really see things picking up in steam. As with most pay-per-views, going into Elimination Chamber, the only thing that matters is the main event storyline, so we're not seeing a lot of other things being developed yet. We don't know what The Undertaker is going to be doing yet. We don't know what the real tag team titles deal is going to be for WrestleMania yet. I mean, we can make assumptions, but we don't know. We don't know what any of the other titles might be doing. I mean, we really don't even know what the main event's going to be other than Batista is going to be involved with it. So a lot of things have to remain to be seen before they could really start putting some oomph behind them.
Yeah, but the thing is, 3 years ago, we had a year promo for the main event of WrestleMania being Cena versus The Rock. I mean, and now we've gone from that to we only know Batista. And it's like, it's kind of, I don't know, maybe that's just, we've let them go too far. We've let WWE just string us along too much. And I mean, I was happy to see Ziggler in a match until Alberto Del Rio came down the ramp. I was like, well, maybe this is going to be good. Maybe we're going to turn it around now, you know, Ziggler in action, you know. But no, we have to have Alberto Del Rio come down there. And it's like, the Miz was right. I mean, those two lackluster people in the ring instead of him. And I do not like the Miz.
You know what it is?
Fucking bullshit!
That's what it is. Brian, we got lots of other callers coming up on the boards here, so I want to make sure we get them in here. So let me ask you, what was your high point, low point for tonight's show?
High point, Summer Rae. Low point, opening promo. Sad night.
That opening segment definitely dragged. Brian, thanks for calling in, bro. We'll see y'all soon.
Okay, bye.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Once again, the phone number to dial in if you want to join the conversation here on the NPR Raw Post Show is area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. You can also join us via Skype, hitting the little Skype icon above the broadcast page. And also in the chat room, we got Joseph Stallman holding things down there this week. A little quiet, you know, without Awesome Piano Man. We miss you, dude, if you're listening to us in the archive version. Wish you could be here with us wherever you're in Fiji or whatever you're doing. I forget what some crazy adventure you got going on. We're gonna bring on another caller now. This one's from the 617 area code. Caller from 617, you're live on the NPR Raw Post Show. What's your name and where you call from?
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is also another Brian. Tony, how you doing? Mike, Drew, Steve. Good talk to you.
Brian, oh, man, you know all of our names. What's shaking, Brian? Thanks for calling in, man. What'd you think about Raw tonight?
Well, you know, I'm trying to be a professional here. Okay. One major question I have here. Why in the world do the Outlaws want to dose the host of Raw with laxatives?
Apparently it was just supposed to be a regular old practical joke. I guess they're trying to act like they're still in the DX hijinks days, but it just makes them seem pathetic because they're old men.
I don't buy it. I mean, like, okay, number one, this doesn't get them any power. The guest host, you know, it purely has no power or authority. There's no reason. And additionally, it's Betty White. She is 92 years of age. I'm not exaggerating. Actually 92. Why would you give laxatives to someone who's, like, constantly 15 minutes away from shitting her pants anyway?
I don't think they really thought that. And I think, you know, we're talking about how The Miz was unused potential. I think the biggest unused potential tonight was absolutely Betty White. And at first I knew the opening segment, you know, we didn't get to see her for long. Whatever, that's fine. You only got to see her 5 minutes to say hello. But you had all night. You could have done small things throughout. You could have had her at least a little more interaction with the divas. I mean, I felt like that segment we had with them backstage was just an absolute hodgepodge of, hey, this diva gets to say five things over the same time, and this diva saying five things at the exact same time. And there's no one going to be able to get anything legible out there.
Yeah, I've got to assume that maybe TV Land gave WWE a good chunk of change to promote her, what is it, hot in like the mid-late hundreds or whatever it was.
Oh, I didn't even know she was promoting anything.
Well,
she's
promoting
laxatives.
Her breathing out, so it's good enough for her.
What'd you think about our main event tonight, John Cena versus Randy Orton?
Oh, like 30 times better than the Royal Rumble matchup, I got to say. You know, what is it? Here's a question. What is that blue piece of string on Orton's finger?
I'm glad you brought that up. Me and my friends were talking about it, too. I was guessing that maybe it was like one of those things when someone ties something around their finger to remind them of something. So, like,
well,
Randy Orton's just really forgetful.
Reminder, stop doing headlocks.
Now that they give him a title, he's made sure that he doesn't forget a single line about how great Stephanie or Triple H is, you know?
Yeah, I think we could be all of the above in that case.
He's got to remind himself what the voices told him earlier.
Real quick question. I'll let you guys go here. Yeah, true or false, is The Shield the most moist wrestling faction in history? These guys are just like absolutely dripping with oil. They look like they stepped out of a commercial for Soul Glow aimed at the multiracial demographic.
I got the team that's the most oily. During the brief period of time that Big E and Mark Henry were together.
Oh, yeah. All right. I got to give you that one. All right. Well, thank you much, guys.
Hold on, Brian. Before you go, we got one thing we always like to ask every caller we bring on here. What was your highest point for Raw tonight? What was your lowest point for Raw tonight?
My highest point is actually being surprised that Nikki Bella is making market improvements in the ring. I really hate to admit it, but the only thing that I really dislike about her matches now is hearing her sister on the outside, you know, come on, droning, and I wish it's the worst. It's the worst. The lowest part is that I'm watching the USA commercials, and I still have no idea who the fuck Todd Chrisley is.
Oh my goodness, that looks absolutely miserable.
Is he? I mean, like, every time I see the guy, I want to say kind of something critical about his southern drawl or, like, that douchebag hairstyle, but I find myself, like, kind of restraining a little because I don't want to sound like I'm homophobic.
Exactly.
Because I don't know anything about this guy.
Exactly. It's not fair. I want to make fun of him, but, like, it's at a time period where you can't make fun of guys like that or else you're going to get so much hate on you for it.
I'm so glad you guys mentioned this because I literally had a note to myself that for later on for Fanboys Anonymous, I might write a post about who the fuck is this guy.
He's like that, the world's most interesting man. You know, you're supposed to know who this guy is, but you think like, well, I don't know who he is. I'm a moron. I'll shut up so no one knows I don't know. But
he sits there in
nobody
that chair
knows,
with that smug smile.
It.
Oh my goodness. I can't stand it. I don't want to watch. And I'm like, oh, this show doesn't even come out until like mid-March. So we got to keep watching these commercials for like 6 more weeks and probably continuing as the show is on. Ugh. What if he comes on Raw 1 week? Oh no. Oh no.
The worst.
Oh,
all right. Thank you, fellas. Right. Have a good night.
Thank you so much, Brian. Call in anytime, man. We appreciate you coming on. All right. We got one more call on the line. Definitely want to get him in here. If this board wants to update, there it goes. All right, we got him in here. Caller from 412, our usual friend from Pittsburgh, JD. Ooh. What's shaking, bro?
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Happy Monday to you. How are you guys doing tonight?
Absolutely tremendous, man. What'd you think of the Raw show tonight?
It was a shitty Raw, to say the least. I mean, it was absolutely a piece of shit show. And like you said a few minutes ago, I mean, they're definitely hyping up the 24th show because that's the night Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Hart are coming on. Brock Lesnar, Shawn Michaels has been advertised, already, and the Taker's coming back, and they're hoping for a big rating that night. As far as the show goes, there was very little to talk about tonight's show. I mean, obviously they announced one more match for the Elimination Chamber. Whoopie freaky dude, Del Rio versus Batista, Burke. Oh, yay. I'm so excited. And meanwhile, we haven't got anything about the Divas title involving AJ, the little Pippi Longstocking Skippy wannabe, with Tamina, the man Snuka, defending her title against anyone. And of course, we saw what happened last week with Naomi and her eye injury. And of course, she's going to be out, we understand, probably this week, whole week possibly, and maybe next week as well, because we're not sure about her status yet. But overall, I mean, I am happy to see Lita go into the Hall of Fame. I think it's a little too early that she's going in, but nevertheless, I think it's a very exciting thing that she's going in. The only question is who's going to induct her, but I can see maybe one or two people induct her, possibly maybe Edge, maybe possibly, or maybe Trish Stratus, maybe possibly her longtime friend. You know, I could see one of those two because I'm going to be there in New Orleans and seeing it. And I mean, I was really surprised that they. What's that?
Who retired Lita?
I think it was either Mickey. I think it was Trish or Mickey, if I remember correctly.
Trish and Lita, I could have swore, retired on the same night.
No, like, one of them retired one of the other ones. I think Lita retired Trish, or Trish retired Lita, and then someone else retired Trish.
Yeah, Trish retired Lita, if you remember. It was on Raw, I think it was, or it was on a pay-per-view in Toronto, I think it was, and that's when Trish won the title one last time, if you remember, okay. And Lita gave her a big hug after that, so I can see that happening. But like I said, I mean, they gotta really step on the gas. I mean, yeah, you had a good main event again this week, but obviously, once again, you have to have, obviously, the Authority and Randy Orton kissing the Authority's ass like he does every week. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm gonna be this good boy this week. You know what? Quit sucking up and blowing Triple H and sucking up Stephanie's dress while you're at it, Randy. Seriously, we don't care about you no more. Seriously. I mean, they're setting up, obviously, it looks like maybe a three-way possibly for Mania. I've already heard rumors that they're talking about Batista, possibly Dee Bry, and also possibly Orton. Now, one of the matches I did hear, I think you're going to see this start to build up maybe in the next month or so, and I don't know if you guys maybe heard about this too, could be Roman Reigns and Triple H. What do you think about that?
Roman Reigns and Triple H? That's interesting. That's like a Battle of the Barbarians.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that, and there's been some serious talk that they are possibly going that way, possibly. Now, I could see that happening. I mean, Roman Reigns right now, I mean, tonight, however, obviously, just, I mean, they could have put a couple other matches on tonight that were funny, but, I mean, better, but like I said, it was just a bland, blah show. And like I said, however, obviously it's going to be interesting to see what the ratings are. I mean, last week they did 3.15, but because the Olympics are on and because it was Orton and Cena being in the main event once again, and for the last time, as they say, however, the ratings are probably going to be somewhat decent tonight. I mean, like I said, I don't know. I think they're hyping way too much of this network. And yeah, I'm glad to see a couple of the young stars come on up from NXT, like the Rusevs, the Saxtons, and the Emmas. But at the same time, they got to still consider maybe cutting back on 3 hours to go to 2 hours again and making the first hour like an NXT minor league warm-up show, you know? I mean, I just think that's what's killing them right now.
Especially with the network. Like, do something that's optional to watch. Like, stuff that will add to the experience if you feel like dedicating the time. But if you just want to watch the actual Raw show, you only have to watch these 2 hours. I think that would be much more beneficial. JD, let's ask you what your high point and your low point was for tonight's show.
High point, I mean, there's two things I liked. I mean, I'm glad he is in the Hall of Fame. That's one of them. But I'd say my high point was the main event. It was a good main event again. Anytime you see Norton go on in the main event, I think you have to have a pretty good main event and good response. And like I said, I thought they did a lot better tonight in Los Angeles than they did when I saw him in Pittsburgh a few weeks ago at the Rumble. The low point, however, I wouldn't say it was the opener, but I'll say another low point. It was really, really low. It was the whole U.S. title thing with Mark Henry and Dean Ambrose. I mean, you had that whole thing with Dean Ambrose saying the whole night, oh, I'm the U.S. champion. I'll defend it against anyone. Well, guess what? Who did you defend it against, and how quick was that? Last I timed it on my watch, it was about 2 minutes, and it was an absolute clusterfuck of a joke of a match, and I just see Dean Ambrose dropping that title very soon.
All right. JD, thanks so much for calling, man. Always good to get your insight in. Have a good night, bro.
You too, guys. Talk to you next Monday.
All right. Good series of callers we had there. So anyone else who wishes to call in, area code 760-512-7247. Call in anytime while we're on the air here. And, of course, you can also join the conversation anytime during the week by using the hashtag RawPostShow. I always forget to plug that. I'm not much of a Twitter person. Got myself more affiliated. I got to join the technology of 5 years ago. So let's get back to our Raw review here. Where we left off, we just got it made official tonight that we will be seeing Batista versus Alberto Del Rio at Elimination Chamber. Tony, I know you have so much to say about this.
That's all I really do have to say. That's all it boils down to. We knew that this was coming. It's a throwaway match to give something Batista something to do. And I really hope that, even though this makes perfect sense with the way that they're going, which I don't think it should have been the way in the first place, but you know, you throw me in the day after Royal Rumble and tell me what should we do for Elimination Chamber without changing our plans. That's the thing you should do. I hope it's a 2-minute squash match and that's it. I don't know what you guys think about that, but I would rather it be just spear, Batista bomb, done, and then run a commercial or something like that. I have no interest in this match whatsoever.
Yeah, more like what Big Show and Brock Lesnar sort of was.
Kind of, yeah.
Drew?
Unlike Mango, I think it's going to be clothesline, kick to the head, clothesline, spine buster, then Batista bomb. I think that's what the match would be if they do have a match at Elimination Chamber. And that's about it.
Steven?
All right, if I had my way, it'd be what Vince wanted to happen with Daniel Bryan and John Cena, where they just combust.
They combust?
Yes, they just blow up in the ring.
Okay.
Then Kane comes out, he lowers his hands, and they light up on fire instead of the posts.
Yep, they just blow up, never see him again.
It's best for business.
Best for business.
Okay. So we get into backstage with New Age Outlaws and Betty White having a tea party together. New Age Outlaws tries to play a prank by putting some laxatives into Betty White's tea. However, Betty White outsmarts them, ends up switching cups with badass Billy Gunn. The next segment is a match with the Usos against Rybacksel. However, the entire segment is focusing on the New Age Outlaws, who are sitting there as guest commentators. The Usos, on fire throughout this matchup. Really awesome job by them. There was this one, I don't know if it was Jimmy or Jay, he went to do a plancha on the outside, and while he was going to do the plancha, he made a tag to his partner. Super cool stuff. Usos get the win with the pin. However, after the match, Billy Gunn, who has been sitting there the whole time, I guess he was making sounds like he was sick. I couldn't hear him, though. Road Dogg kept being like, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? I didn't hear it. Did you guys hear it?
Not at all.
Nope.
I don't know if Billy Gunn's headset just wasn't working or what they did. But after the match, Billy Gunn runs off, clenching his butt, and it's funny, ha-ha, like Looney Tunes. Great. Wonderful.
E.T.
Tony, you anything to say about this?
I just hope that they redo reruns of it with Billy Gunn's old theme song. I'm an ass man.
Pew, pew.
I'm an ass man. Just add like the fart noises to it or something like
Drew?
I kind of was in and out. I didn't really pay attention, but yeah, go Usos.
All right. Steven?
So I cut out. Are we talking about the Usos?
Yes.
Okay. Best match of the night. I really enjoyed it.
Whoa, you say the best match of the night involved Curtis Axel and Ryback?
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah, I tell you what, that tag he did, I don't know which Uso is. I normally say the fat one and the skinny one, but the fat one's lost weight now, so it's kind of hard to pinpoint which Uso it was. But the whole plancha tag and then the finish with the splash was awesome. So I'm really happy that these guys are going into a program with the New Age Outlaws, and I could see this being a feud that they can drag out till Mania.
Tony?
I really loved that tag as well.
Hell yeah.
That was pretty much the best part of this whole night, I think. And I liked the match too, but that was the highlight of the match thing. I don't know if I really want the Usos to be in the tag match at Elimination Chamber. I kind of been going 50-50 about that. If they don't just have a rematch with Cody Rhodes and Goldust, then maybe. But what I'm really hoping for is we have just every tag team have a spot in some giant match at WrestleMania for the titles and give the Usos the win there. They deserve to win the titles at this point.
I guess we'll see what they do with that. Because as I was saying before, it's really not clear what the plans for the tag division is going into WrestleMania. And it seems kind of quick to be trying to rush a match for the tag titles for Elimination Chamber, but at the same time, they only care about the main event. They could put a match on that didn't have any build at all previously to it. We had Lita announced as being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure what to think about this. I mean, it's great. Lita was really cool back in the day. It just feels like there's 100 other people that could go in before, even women. To me, I would say Miss Elizabeth should have been in like 10 years before Lita ever goes in. I don't know. What do you guys think about this? Drew?
I like it. I'm not in love with it. But like you said, they could have put another person in there. But, you know, I think Lita is deserving of going into the Hall of Fame. I just think it might be a little bit too soon for this, kind of like what JD said.
Tony?
I think the same basic idea. I'm okay with Lita going in, and I really can't think of that many people that could go in as far as including a woman every year other than her and Miss Elizabeth. But they're not going to do Miss Elizabeth until they can figure out a way to do that in like a politically correct kind of way. And there's a lot of other people, too, that could get that posthumous place this year. Paul Bearer being one of them that's rumored. Macho Man, of course, could potentially happen. And you give me a choice between putting Miss Elizabeth instead of Lita and not including Paul Bearer or Macho Man, or doing the other way around, I'm going with Macho or Paul Bearer. So I'm fine with Lita.
Steven?
Lita definitely deserves it. I don't think anyone can make the argument that that she doesn't deserve it any less than Trish Stratus, who's in there. So I'm all for it. Those two worked great together, and I wish they was inducted around the same time.
JD posed a question earlier. Who do we think is going to induct Lita? I think the obvious one is Trish, but if not Trish, then who would be another backup?
Matt Hardy.
Not a chance.
What about S.A. Rios?
Can you speak English?
I don't remember. I don't think he ever spoke.
Shit, this could be like his first promo ever. Let's have it done.
It's got to be Trish. It has to be.
Maybe here and Edge can have another live sex celebration.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
But this time he brings Beth Phoenix into it. He's like, okay, we need to up the ante.
Oh, no. You know who could do it? AJ Lee.
What, have sex with Lita?
No, that'd be awesome. No, she'd be a great one to get her, 'cause she's like the face of the women's division now. I'm sure everyone's seen that video of when Lita met her when she was like 10 years old, so like 2 years ago, and was like crying and hugging her.
Yeah, that could work.
Well, she could do the creepy gimmick and dress up like Lita and accept the award for her.
Yeah. Okay. We had Dean Ambrose coming out to put out his open challenge for the United States Championship. I honestly thought it was going to be Roman Reigns, but it ended up being the return of Mark Henry came out to answer the challenge. This was not an excellent match, not an excellent U.S. title match especially. It ended with Seth Rollins running in for the disqualification, and that was pretty much all we got out of this. The Wyatt family ended up coming out after the match for a short face down with the Shield. Roman Reigns steps into the ring ready for a fight. Bray Wyatt teases stepping in, but eventually turns around and leaves. Just a little bit more of a delay of when we might finally get to see the Shield and the Wyatts fight.
Ooh.
Tony?
I kind of wanted Mark Henry to win.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Dean Ambrose, but at the same time, I think he gets a little bit too much credit from a lot of people. I do think he's, you know, one of the better, newer guys that they have on the roster, but I don't think that he's this has to be a million time world champion kind of guy that a lot of people build him up as. And he's had the U.S. title for such a long time and done nothing with it. So it's not like giving that to somebody else is really going to hurt him, because he's not doing anything to promote himself with that anyway. He's just carrying it around. So I would have liked the idea of Mark Henry winning here. And then if they're going to do what has been rumored for a long time now of Big E Langston versus Mark Henry at WrestleMania, what better way to give it some kind of weight other than, you know, the two guys involved, but some kind of weight behind it that matters than to have the IC champion and the US champion in a unification match? That would have been pretty good. But if they're not going to do that, then maybe there's a better way that you can incorporate the U.S. title. Maybe you have that triple threat match with the Shield, and I don't know, but the idea of Mark Henry winning it would have been cool with me. So, maybe they'll do it down the line. Maybe this is going to lead to something better than I'm thinking of. I don't know, but missed opportunity as far as right now, I think.
Drew?
I don't care. This match sucked.
Yeah.
Well, I really wish they would have put Roman Reigns in instead of Mark Henry. I was thinking it was going to be him. I thought that'd be amazing. I thought that'd be a great way to like build even more tension between the Shield, and also would give Roman Reigns the title. And I think people have been wanting him to have a title for a while now. You know, it just really boggles my mind now that going back when Dean Ambrose won the title, should have they done Roman Reigns winning the title, the U.S. title, and Dean Ambrose tagging with Seth Rollins? I wonder if switching that up would have played any differently, because I'm starting to think that maybe Reigns should have had the title in the first place instead of having the tag team. So, like I said, match sucked. You know, nothing to do about that. Mark Henry will have his good matches, but then he'll have his duds, like this. But yeah, Roman Reigns, go Samoan. Beauty, yeah.
The Roman Reigns got, once again, a fantastic spear on Mark Henry, stopping the Beast when he was taking down the rest of the Shield outside of the ring.
The better question to ask is, when does he not have a beautiful spear? He has the best spear in the company.
Oh, by far. Absolutely.
Ask Renee Young.
This match totally blowed. Drew's right. I fucking hated the match. I couldn't stand it. I'm glad that they didn't put the belt on Mark Henry, though, because the last thing I want to see is him and Big E at WrestleMania. That's going to stink up the joint. Because, you know, Mark Henry's had such WrestleMania classics as him versus Undertaker and him versus Ryback. So, I like that they're planting the seeds and they're doing the slow burn with the Shields. I'm glad they've not got too eager to rush it. And I'm hoping the end result is we get this triple threat match, which potentially could be match of the night at Mania.
So, we had a Black History Month video honoring Bobo Brazil way before my time. I can't really say anything about the guy. He's a Hall of Famer, though, and I think it's cool that they do these little snippets honoring the past. Cool seeing Bobo Brazil. We had our Divas match of the night featuring the Bella Twins and Cameron going against AJ Lee, Alicia Fox, and Oksana. They, of course, mentioned Naomi out because of that knee to the face she took, bruising her orbital bone or breaking her orbital bone, whatever it was, freaking killed her. Well, it didn't kill her. It took her out of competition for a while. I didn't even see how this ended. I heard the Funkadactyls music playing, so did Cameron get the pin?
I think she did, and she hit some kind of a finisher, but I actually didn't see that either. I kind of looked away right at the same time where they said that she hit her finishing move.
She has a finishing move?
Which she calls the Bye Girl, I think. Or the Girl Bye.
Terrible name.
I don't know what the hell it was, though, because I didn't see it, and they didn't bother to do any kind of a replay, so it must not have been that great.
Joseph Stallman is saying that it was a DDT.
That's it?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Original.
I wonder if it was a lifting DDT where they do that really horrible version that most of the Divas do.
You know, I'm waiting for the commentators to make some kind of like remark, and I would expect it from JBL with when Cameron is in the ring with Alicia Fox and is like, "Oh, Cameron looked up to Alicia Fox, one of her idols."
Right.
Yeah. Nothing more to say about this, I believe. We had John Cena's Did You Know Fact of the Night, 400 Make-A-Wishes. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I think that's great that John Cena does those things. It really makes him hard to hate when he's putting in all those extra hours and all these great PR moves, I guess we could call them. But they certainly are making a change for all the fans who may not be around to see WrestleManias going forward.
I just want to say, for everyone that says that John Cena doesn't deserve the top spot and that he doesn't work hard enough, fact is, no other guy does all this fucking extra workload that John Cena does. And it's just an example of how he really is a company guy.
Absolutely. Anyone else have anything else I want to add to that?
No, just pretty cool.
Joseph Stallman saying, "I wished for an Orton versus Cena match. So 401. Thanks, John Cena." We got another short Alexander Rusev promo tonight featuring Lana as well. I'm sure we're going to expect to see them soon on Raw. And that's cool. I'm excited. You guys excited for Alexander Rusev?
Eh.
Little 4 out of 10.
Little Umaga? Yeah, cool.
I've watched a match of his once, one time, a long time ago, and it was just nothing special, so it's kind of like, eh, whatever.
I think you'll see better at him once he gets to the main roster, but whatever, remains to be seen. We had Kane come out. He was interrupted by Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan chased him out of the ring, beat while the crowd had chanted yes, and that's really all that happened. I don't know where this is going, because I doubt we're going to see a Team Hell No matchup at Elimination Chamber, and I certainly hope that that's not going to be the WrestleMania matchup. Guys, what do you think about this whole thing? Tony?
Stall. Just for the tonight. Just for somebody that Daniel Bryan can go out and beat up. That's it. They can't do this at WrestleMania. They can't. There's no way.
Drew?
I'd rather see that than Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. I'll say that much.
Okay, I'll give you that. Steven?
I agree with Tony. Stall.
Yeah, I hope that's all this is. So let's jump into our main event of what we had tonight. John Cena versus Randy Orton. Before the match even began, actually, we got something I know Steven was very excited about. The tail of the tape. Something I don't see very often. It was really nice little touch. It always makes matches feel that much more important, especially with guys like John Cena and Randy Orton, who have so much you could tell me. They didn't even say all the great things you could say about the careers of John Cena and Randy Orton. They didn't mention any of the tag title runs, any of the mid-card titles that they may have had. Just little things that they put on there. And it's great to see a tail of tape that wasn't John Cena versus Fred Flintstone, because I think that was the last time we saw one, and that was just embarrassing. I think that was at WrestleMania, wasn't it?
I don't know. Maybe I just pushed it out of my memory.
The crowd was not really into this match at first. It's LA. It's one of those smarkier crowds. One of my favorite parts during the match is when they were doing the punch exchange, and you know how a crowd normally during those would go boo, yay, boo, yay. Well, this match they just went boo, 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 boo. So props to the LA crowd. A lot more exciting than the Omaha crowd was last week. John Cena ends up getting the victory with the flying leg drop and the attitude adjustment. Not a bad match. I felt like it dragged on a little bit, but I feel, as many people were saying, significantly better than the Royal Rumble matchup. And they were saying this is going to be closure to their feud, so hopefully this is the last time we're going to see these two go against each other for a while. Tony, what'd you think about it?
Yeah, it was pretty decent. I mean, there's really not much that I can pick apart with it other than the fact that it did go a tiny bit long. And I'm sure if I was a kid that was buying into this a little bit more and not trying to be that whole like, oh, well, I'm looking at stuff behind the scenes and all that stuff, I probably would have enjoyed it a lot, because this is kind of in the same style of what WWE used to do back when I was a kid watching it. And you'd have the couple top guys and you'd throw one top guy in with the top heel. And it was kind of like, not to say just kind of like a placeholder main event match, but it's something to hold you over until the pay-per-view and still pretty interesting and everything. So I'm sure the kids probably ate it up, especially if they were fans of John Cena. But for me, at this point, it really wasn't doing that much for me. It wasn't that thing that saved the whole event for the night. It didn't make me wish that I had paid extremely more attention to the rest of the card. It just was what it was.
Drew?
Yeah, the only thing I could really hate on the match was the ending. I was like, oh no, the RKO, and then oh no, he kicked out. Oh no, the AA right after that. Oh, he kicked out. You know, that's the stuff we see in every Cena Orton match, but besides that, the match was good. You know, it was kind of a fool me once, fool me twice thing. You know, I didn't think Randy Orton would lose to Daniel Bryan last week. He did. Then they fooled me twice this week, because I didn't think they'd actually go through with having him lose to both Cena and Bryan, and they did. So I guess it looks like maybe Orton's going to lose to everyone, but Christian, he's going to beat up Christian, of course. But it feels like he's going to lose everyone in some way going up into this Elimination Chamber match.
And Steven.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if Orton loses to Antonio Cesaro and Christian, because that'd be a huge feather in Cesaro's cap. As far as this match goes, I've seen it 100 times now, so it's hard to really get invested and appreciate them when they're actually doing something right. And for the most part, this was a good match. It's just, again, it's kind of just meh to me now. It's been overdone. If I, again, if like Tony said, if I was a kid, maybe I'd be eating this up. but I'm not, so it was what it was. I'm glad that, shit, I forgot I was going with this one, but I'm glad that Cena got the win in this one. I'm tired of seeing Orton on top for so long, so I'm hoping that seeing him downplayed a bit and putting some of these guys over will help him.
Yeah, Orton, I believe, has lost to every single participant in the Elimination Chamber match so far.
He has.
He's faced.
Wait, who did he face on SmackDown?
Christian?
Oh, he's already fought Christian?
Oh, fuck.
I think he already fought Christian.
I don't watch SmackDown, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Sheamus. I don't know. It was one of those two.
I could see him losing every single person.
Even Cesaro?
Even Cesaro, yeah. I think that could be one of those situations where maybe Cesaro just gets like a roll-up or something like that. They're not going to have him do like the spin or the Cesaro swing and then finish him with that. So whatever they end up doing, it would make sense if they have him lose to everybody and then he wins the Elimination Chamber. But if he beats one or two people, those people are going to look really bad.
I think the best thing he can do is when he's in the chamber, they actually don't open his pod, lock him in, and just raise it up.
What?
And then we don't have an Orton match ever again.
Just leave him there.
Yeah, that's the
like we're gonna watch basketball games of whatever's playing in that arena. You're just gonna see the chamber up there. Randy Orton's like hitting the glass. Let me out.
Shit, I'd just pay for that.
Oh, that was Raw tonight, guys. Let's go around the whole table here and let's get our high point, low point for tonight's show. Steven, why don't you start us off?
I didn't see much, but my high point is the Usos match. My low point, the fucking Betty White laxative bullshit.
True.
Low point, I think it'd be the Mark Kendry finasco. And I was a big Cleveland Steamer on its own, but the high point might be not the first Betty White segment, but the Betty White segment with all the Divas and the New Age Outlaws came in. I did like that one.
Tony?
Low point. Absolutely nothing helped me get interested for WrestleMania tonight. The Bryan versus Kane thing, the Del Rio and Batista thing, nothing has made me more excited. High point, if it isn't the Roman Reigns baby girl kind of comment,
yes,
then it would have to be the Usos tag and jump over the ropes finishing the match.
Oh, man, you took my steam because I was going to say my low point is the New Age Outlaws Betty White laxative tea scene. That was just ridiculously dumb. And my high point will go to Roman Reigns' baby girl because that was just so fucking sexy.
Don't make it gay.
We had a blocked caller call in tonight. I was going to bring him on, but they were probably going to talk something about, I don't know, putting a boxing glove up their butt or something.
Oh, it was a boxing bag, dude.
A boxing bag? Okay.
Yeah, get it right, Peyton. God, I'm professional.
Once again, anyone who's listening who doesn't have any idea what we're talking about is going to be so confused. Joseph Stallman in the chat, his high point was the Wyatt's Shield stare down, and his low point was Mega Powers doesn't want Lita in the Hall of Fame over dead crack whore Elizabeth. What?
Ooh,
we don't want Lita in the Hall of Fame? Of course. How are you going to make fun of crack whore Elizabeth? That just caught up to me. JT77, high point, Wyatt to the Shield. The low point doesn't matter because it won't be as good as Joe's. Oh, God. Thanks, chat. Thanks a lot. All right, let's go around for our plugs here tonight. Steven, start us off.
February 23rd, tune in to Megapowers Radio for Addicted to Anime at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we review Addicted to Anime. Also, check out Unanimous Decision MMA. That's going to be returning real soon for predictions of UFC 170. You can go and check that out by going to facebook.com/UDMMA. Before I forget, the Addicted to Anime group is facebook.com/AddictedAnimeFans.
Drew?
Oh, man, Steven remembers his page handles for once. Anyways, I don't really have anything of importance like I never do because I apparently have a terrible life compared to everyone else here. But you know, Drew Crew, and I'm priceless, so that's about it.
SmartGuyMoment.com. We're looking for more writers and other staff members, so if you're interested, go ahead and check that out. Go ahead and check out the Bleacher Report stuff that I've got going on. And this Friday on Smack Talk, we're going to be answering your monthly mailbag questions, so if you want to ask us any questions, send us in whatever you have to ask. And we're also going to be debuting the first ever Call the Spot segment, which is going to feature the participants of the Elimination Chamber as well as the people that lost their chance in that match. So for everything else, just go check out A Mango Tree and help it grow.
Oh, holy shit. Joseph Stallman just reminded me. Jerry Lawler was right. He said maybe next week Bad News Barrett won't be around. And he wasn't.
Wow.
Oh,
well,
no.
You've still got depressing news way to go, so fuck you.
Oh, that was his make-a-wish.
Well, everyone, we certainly hope you enjoyed listening tonight. And if you did, join us every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw here on Mega Powers Radio at megapowersradio.com. But if you can't be here live, you can find the show in many various ways in archival form. YouTube.com/megapowersradio, it'll be on there. iTunes and Stitcher Radio, just search for MPR Raw Post Show and you'll find it on there. Please rate and review the show. It'll help us get higher in the chart so more and more people can listen to us and enjoy the awesomeness that is the NPR Raw Post Show. And of course, find it at smarkoutmoment.com, which will feature the full show notes about everything. So that'll be the number one spot to find the show at. A couple other things I want to point out here. This Thursday on Mega Powers Radio, we'll be welcoming CG Thornton. She is a pro video gamer / reality television series actress. She'll be joining us on Geekspeak at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an interview and talking about the latest news in the nerd world. So if you enjoy pro gamers, chicks, and all that types of stuff, please join us for Geekspeak. And this Saturday, going all freaking day, is the Dacetacular Gaming for a Cause. Lots of information available about that because I can't even begin to tell you all the details for that, but I know he's going to be going 24 hours nonstop video gaming, raising money for charity. I believe it is the Children's Hospital of something. I feel like a joke without knowing. Please go to fanboysanonymous.com, though. Look up the information for that. The Dacetacular Gaming for a Cause. And stay tuned on Mega Powers Radio, specifically this Wednesday, to the Daceman Show, where we'll have full details about that. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the NPR Raw Post Show tonight. Thank you to all the callers we had, all the people talking in the chat room. For Drew White, for Stephen Huego, and for Tony Mango, I am Mike Payton. And we'll see y'all next week here at Mega Powers Radio for the NPR Raw Post Show.